T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. The Guess Who there, they were at the Battery a couple of weeks ago. They played a show with Wilson Phillips. But the Guess Who, you're talking about a band that literally started in 1958 under a different name. They got big in the late 60s, 1968 or so. And the band was led by two guys, Burton Cummings and Randy Bachman. The reason I bring this up, and then Randy Bachman left when the Guess Who was really big. They're from Canada. And then he started Bachman Turner Overdrive. But the reason I'm bringing this up, because I was wondering who from the classic era was in the Guess Who when they came to Metairie a couple of weeks ago. And they just played up north. I've got some friends up north, and a couple of my friends up there went to see that show. A guitar player named Gary Peterson is a guy that was around back then, and he's still with them. The bass player going around now with the Guess Who is a guy named Rudy Sarzo, who was in Quiet Riot. He was in Quiet Riot when they were at their peak with Come On Feel the Noise, and he was also in Ozzy Osbourne's band for those first couple of albums with his former Quiet Riot guitar player, Randy Rhoads. It was just bizarre seeing Rudy Sarzo playing bass with the Guess Who. And it just goes to show you, as long as there's one guy still kicking around, Gary Peterson guy, you could bring the band on the road, even all of these years later, and still play the songs that people remember and the songs that people like. And we see that with lots of bands these days. I mean, the Black Crowes are touring now, and they just have the two brothers, the two Robinson brothers. That's it. They don't have anybody else who was a Black Crow for those first two amazing Black Crowes albums. I always thought the second Black Crowes album was the best Black Crowes album, but there's nobody outside of the Robinson brothers, Chris singing and Rich playing guitar, who's in the Black Crowes now, and the Black Crowes are coming here for Jazz Fest this fall.
Has there ever been a band that has been completely replaced but kept the original name? Meaning that, let's say you have a band and it has four members. Then all of a sudden they replace one member, then another member, then another member, right? And you still had that one original member, but you got the three other new members. But then that original member, they toured for a little while, but then the original member, they replace him. Now it's technically still a new entirely band, but the other three that were new are now older, and they replace somebody else, and now it's a new band. It's kind of like that hammer thing, you know, like if you replaced the head of a hammer, but you still kept the handle, it's the same handle, but what if you replace the handle, is it a new hammer? So is there a situation where a band has been completely replaced?
Yeah, I think there are some instances out there, Coleman, where there's no original members left, but there's someone that replaced an original member. I think with some of the Southern rock bands, I mean, you got a band like Molly Hatchet. They're on in some instruments. They're on their third, fourth replacement. Those guys lived the hard life. I remember the Temptations, the Motown sound. There was a big deal going on with who's left, and there's one guy who was kind of original. He replaced somebody who left, and then there was a legal ramifications. I think somebody sued somebody, but I think there are some bands out there that still tour. They're not very big, and they don't play big places. They play small places, but they call themselves the band name,
right,
that people know, but they don't have anybody that was originally there when the band started and when the band first made a name for itself. I know there was one band. I think they had the original light guy, you know, and that's who's left. Well, you know, we kind of puts the light, the spotlight on the singer and the guitar player when he's doing the solo. But, you know, the way I look at it is, if there's still an audience for that, if there's still a market for that, if they could go out and sell a few hundred tickets to go see them play at different places across the country, hell, why not?
Yeah. You know, I grew up listening to rap, and I couldn't imagine a rap group replacing one of the rap members with another rapper and try to pass them off. Like N.W.A., for instance. There's no way you can, like, oh, Dr. Dre, somebody could replace a Dr. Dre or replace an Ice Cube. It would be kind of weird. You go see N.W.A., and then somebody who's not Ice Cube comes out and starts rapping Ice Cube's lyrics. Like, you can't do that. You know how, like, you can take a band and you can replace the lead singer with somebody that kind of sounds like the lead singer, and it wouldn't matter because they have the same sound. But with rap, you couldn't do something like that. Have somebody rap somebody else's lyrics who isn't the original guy. That would be too awkward.
Nah, in rap, you just make a big movie like Straight Outta did well, and a lot of people saw. I just thought that was interesting. And then you've got Rudy Sarzo playing bass for the Guess Who, but they're still out there, and they're still going across the country playing the songs that people like from them from 50 years ago, so even over that in some cases. All right, coming up on the show this morning. This past weekend was the first weekend for the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. Coleman, you watch any Olympics?
I didn't see any of it.
You didn't see any of it?
Not one iota of the Olympics. The only thing I've seen from the Olympics is what people posted on Facebook over the weekend.
Yeah, I flipping the channels the last couple of nights, and I stopped on NBC because they're the ones who are showing the Olympics. And the one thing that's exciting about the Olympics, every 4 years, there's a handful of sports that people care about and get excited about. And then we don't care about them or get excited about them or watch them for another 4 years until the next Olympics. Things like swimming and gymnastics and things like that. America got off to a pretty good start. We'll talk a little bit about that. And the big story this morning on the show, Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas, at the end of last week, news broke about him. He just got surgery on the ankle he injured in week one last season. He just got surgery in June, and now he's going to miss at least the first half of the season. People have a lot of questions about that. Why did he wait so long to get the surgery? And after he signed the biggest contract in the history of the NFL for a wide receiver, he played the one game And then he got hurt in that game, and then he missed a lot of last year. Then he came back, remember, but he was never really 100%. That contract now isn't looking as good as the day he signed it. We got a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. Hope you had a good weekend. Did you watch any of the Olympics? This past weekend was the opening weekend for the, it was supposed to be the 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. But because of the pandemic, it's the 2020 Olympics are now in 2021. They have no fans there that sit in the stands to watch any of the events. And it's got to be a bit of a letdown, but at least they're trying to get through the Olympics. I've always been a sports fan, and I've always thought the Olympics were pretty cool, because every 4 years we get interested in a few sports that we don't care about for 4 years. And then every 4 years, all of a sudden, you know, we're all paying attention to swimming. And we're all paying attention to gymnastics. And I always thought that was wild about the Olympics, how these are literally the best athletes in the world who train every day pretty much for 4 years to try to accomplish their goals. And this year's Olympics, they've added a couple of sports. There's skateboarding this year for the first time at the Olympics. And wouldn't you know, this past weekend, there was a guy, a skateboarder, who was out there with a broken wrist, with a cast on his right wrist, skateboarding, because he just broke his wrist while he was practicing, getting ready to go for the Olympics. And you think he was going to let that stop him?
Oh, no.
He's a skateboarder. No, they just cast me up. I'm going to still go out there, and I'm gonna compete against the greatest skateboarders in the world here with one of my arms in a cast. I thought that was pretty cool. Our basketball team, the United States, lost to France. Very uncool. And I thought, and most of us thought, many of us thought, that after the NBA guys, the professionals, started playing in the Olympics again, when the Dream Team started, the greatest basketball team ever on planet Earth, the one that had Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and others. I always thought when that started, we'd never lose an Olympic basketball game again. And for the most part, that's right. But these days, there are so many guys from so many different countries in the NBA. And like over the weekend for France, the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert, was on France. And this past year, he was the Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA. He's a big center. You don't go inside against him. And that's one of the reasons why we lost to France. And it's going to be tough now for the American Olympic basketball team to go all the way and win the gold medal. Plus, with some of these other countries, the guys on those teams have been playing together for a long, long time. Meanwhile, here's the American team. Okay, you got some guys from the NBA. We'll just throw them together for a couple of weeks, and hopefully they can click. You know, basketball season just ended, and taking a bunch of really talented guys, putting them together, but you're playing them against teams. Each player may not be as talented, but they've been playing together for a very long time, and that on-court chemistry means something.
Well, overall, do you think the American basketball players are getting worse, or do you think around the world basketball players are getting better because they have more access to better training facilities, more access to online training? They can watch the NBA, you know, on their smartphones now, so they're learning tips from the pros. Or do you think the American basketball players just aren't as hungry as the Dream Team was when you did have Rodman and Jordan and all them?
I don't think, Coleman, American basketball players are getting worse. I think the game has grown around the globe. Obviously, our game, we invented it. And now you look at the NBA, as I said earlier, you know, some of the best players from different countries all over the world are in the NBA. They're playing here. So it'll be something to see if the American basketball team can get it together.
But I just get the sense that today's Olympic basketball teams, they are just playing for the hell of it. They're playing for fun. They already got big contracts. They don't have anything to prove. They don't want to prove that, you know, America is they don't have that drive like the Dream Team did. Like Jordan and them, they wanted to prove that they were the best in the world. It just seems like this year's team or the teams, you know, in the past few generations, just play just for the hell of it, just to have fun, just to be there, just to say they was in the Olympics. Because when they get home, they're going to be good. Like, they don't have anything.
Oh, they're multi-millionaires.
Really prove that, you know, they don't have anything that motivate them, that incentive like the Dream Team had.
Well, if that's the case, then those guys shouldn't be on the team. I mean, they should always take pride in representing this country on a world stage. But, the swimming, you think about. I mentioned, you know, them and all the other Olympic athletes, they train every day for 4 years, and here's their shot. And last night there was a swimming match where someone came in fourth. It was an American who came in fourth, so they didn't get a medal, didn't win a gold, silver, or bronze. They came in fourth literally by 1/100th of a second. Think about that. 1/100th of a second was the difference between them getting a medal and them getting nothing. Squadouche. And that's what.
But you can't blame him. He got water in his eyes, so he couldn't see.
But think about that. For 1/100th of a second. They're going 4 years. You have nothing to show for. You know, yeah, I went to Tokyo and I came in fourth. I just missed it. When you say just, how much did you miss it by? 1/100th of a second. That's basically if he didn't clip his fingernails when he did. If he let his fingernail grow a couple of more days when he touched the wall, he may have ended up getting the bronze medal.
You're right. That is like so many factors involved. He could have just shaved his head that morning. You know, maybe it was like one hair, or maybe he had one bite to eat more than he should have. Like one, I'll just take one more chip before I go to bed. That probably made the difference. Just one thing he did that day prior. Maybe he didn't go to the restroom before he went and changed. That could have made the difference between him having a bronze medal. Yeah, just something as simple as that.
You can't lose something by any less than 1/100th of a second. You know, I don't know exactly which swimming race it was, but there's a couple of the longer swimming races where they swim for like 3 minutes or whatever. You know, you're swimming out there with the best in the world for 3 minutes, and it comes down to 1/100th of a second. That's, to me, that is mind-numbing. And I feel bad for the person who lost, because now, well, I'll try again if I'm lucky 4 years from now.
Yeah, right? That's going to keep him up at night for about 4 years.
Now I got to go back and I got to train and I got to stay in shape and I got to work out every day for the next 4 years. And during the American basketball loss to France, they brought a robot out, and the robot pressed everybody with impeccable shooting during halftime of the United States France basketball game. That game was overshadowed by a robot at halftime. The robot was spotted at the foul line taking a while, but he was still knocking down all the foul shots. I mean, the robot was shooting better than all the players. The robot is shooting better foul shots than all of the NBA players. Because I guess all you got to do is push a couple of buttons on the robot, and the robot didn't miss. The only thing was, it took them a little bit longer than it takes the players in between shots, but. Something we got impeccable shooting robots on the basketball court.
How long do you think it'll be before we start accepting robots into the Olympics? Like, what games do you think it'll be?
Well, I don't know, Coleman, but I always said, and I changed my mind about this. For many years, I always thought if human beings were going to be taken over by something, it would be monkeys, it would be chimps, it would be gorillas. Not anymore. I think the robots will take over people, but there will always have to be a person programming those robots. But anybody who wanted to get really devious, you push some buttons and robots, everything better than human beings. And I put the monkeys behind them. All right, coming up on the show this morning, there's a lot of Saints fans who are confused, upset about why star wide receiver Michael Thomas just decided to get surgery on the ankle he injured in week one last year. He waited until June of this year, and we all just found out about it late last week, and now, because of that, he's going to miss not the first half of the season this year for the Saints. People have a lot of questions about that. We'll tell you the latest we know about that. We have a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Scientists have discovered a ring of fire on Venus. Well, that's much better than them finding a ring of fire on Uranus. How about that? Something that we can, all these years later, we could still learn so much about stuff. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. I think most people enjoy Doritos, right? One teenager in Australia just discovered an extremely rare Dorito. And for his discovery, got $20,000.
Cha-ching!
A teenager in Australia, a 13-year-old, won this $20,000. I guess her name is Riley Stewart. I saw Riley Stewart, and I just thought it was as a guy. But these days, people name kids and their names could be any one of the several genders. A 13 Australian girl named Riley Stewart was eating Doritos, and she found one puffy one. And you know, if you've ever eaten Doritos, there's no such thing as puffy Doritos. And so she decided to go online and put the puffy Dorito up for sale. And because she did that, Doritos is rewarding 13-year-old Riley Stewart from Queensland, Australia, $20,000 for her entrepreneurship. After she just happened upon a very unique air-filled Dorito. I love Doritos, and I've never seen one of those before.
They do have them. They call Doritos 3D. I think somebody got mixed up at the plant. They're all puffy Doritos. It's called 3D. It's either called Doritos 3D or 3D Doritos, where it's like an air-filled triangle. So maybe somebody at the plant accidentally put a Doritos 3D in a regular Doritos bag, and now she came upon $20,000. Nothing could have went wrong with that. Imagine buying that bag of Doritos. Or imagine there's a lot of accidental puffy Doritos in a bag, but you crunched the bag up because you left it in your car seat or something, or you sat on it, and now you messed up your chance to get $20,000 because you squished or crunched your puffy Dorito.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
I've read this whole story and it says nothing about 3D Doritos.
I'm confident there was something called Doritos 3D. Let me see to make sure I'm not tripping. It's like a puffy version of Doritos.
It's wild what some people will buy. You know, there are things that people see get in their possession. And they'll take a picture of it, and they'll put it online. They'll put it out there for sale on eBay. And seemingly, there's always somebody that will buy something like this.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Doritos 3D is puffy Doritos. I know I wasn't tripping.
While the listing online stated only puffy Dorito, one of a kind. Doritos saw that, and Doritos decided to give this 13-year-old girl from Australia the $20,000.
I guess that was nice of them.
Yeah, she said, quote, "I was about to eat it, and I thought I better save it for later. I saw $10,000 from one bidder, and I, like, screamed."
I like how she said she didn't scream. She liked scream.
Her dad is saying that since he bought the packet, it's his chip. But I ate the packet and found it. So I believe it's my chip. There have been others before her who have tried to make a buck off of unique-looking foods online. Earlier this year, a teenager in Idaho sold a jar with a Dorito in it as a conversation piece for $20. in June, a chicken McNugget went for a mind-boggling $100,000 on eBay due to its resemblance to a character from the mystery video game Among Us.
Huh. I remember that chicken nugget.
This also isn't the first time that a Dorito chip has deviated from its snack size triangle. The company that owns Doritos, Frito-Lay, and they're a subsidiary of Pepsi Corporation, they launched special foot-long Doritos, the biggest in the world. They did that a few years ago. But Coleman, I haven't seen anything about the 3D Doritos.
I'll send you some pictures of the 3D Doritos so you can see what I'm talking about. But there was a product called 3D Doritos, and it was just puffy Doritos, just like this woman is describing. So I'm assuming that somebody accidentally put a puffy 3D Dorito inside of a regular Doritos bag, and she just happened to luck up on it. But there was a product called 3D Doritos, or Doritos 3Ds.
Well, this 13-year-old girl from Queensland, Australia, just got paid $20,000 from Doritos because she got a Dorito, a Dorito filled with air, took a picture of it, put it online, tried selling it, and Dorito saw it and gave her hair. Here, we'll give you the 20 grand. Coming up next on the show, it's this morning's Big O segment. Saints star wide receiver Michael Thomas looks like he's going to miss the first half of the season because he just had his ankle operated on this past June. The ankle, the same ankle that he hurt in week one of the regular season last year. Why did he wait so long to get the surgery? And he's the when he signed his contract last year, the biggest contract in the history of wide receivers in the NFL. And it's been a rough going since he signed his name on that contract. That's our Big O this morning. I want to get your take on that. Got a lot to get to on the show. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund. Here with you, and I hope you had a good weekend making it through the heat. It's supposed to be another there's a heat advisory again for today, like there was yesterday and Saturday. You know, you live around here, be careful out there. They say today it could get up to feels like 110 or 112. At the end of last week, on Friday, after our show ended, news broke. Oh, and by the way, since it's just a little bit after 7, this is this morning's Big O.
Oh.
On Friday, the Saints announced that their star wide receiver, the wide receiver who not that long ago signed the biggest contract in the history of NFL wide receivers. And then after he signed that contract, he got hurt in the first game last year against Tampa Bay. Hurt his ankle. Then he missed a bunch of games, and he came back, but he was never really 100%. And then the season ended, and I think he, along with team doctors, were hoping just rest would help get his ankle better. But that didn't happen. As on Friday, the Saints announced that a few weeks ago, in June, Michael Thomas had ankle surgery. He had an operation on that ankle. And he's going to be out for about the first half of this upcoming season. The first question most fans had was, well, why did he wait until June to get that surgery? And the thinking there is, because no one's really 100% sure, the people around Michael Thomas, they don't say much. But people are thinking that he wanted to see if it would just heal naturally without having to go under the knife. But when last month came around, his ankle was still bothering him, and so he had surgery, which is going to mean he's going to be out about the first half of this upcoming season. By the way, the Saints report to training camp on Thursday. Ever since Michael Thomas signed that contract, making him the highest paid wide receiver in the history of the NFL, it hasn't gone very well. And obviously the quarterback that helped make him such a great receiver, Drew Brees, is no longer playing. And so that contract he signed right now is not looking very good. You know, the Saints, like every NFL team, they have a salary cap. Every team has a certain number. They set a number, and then all your players on your team have to be at or below that number. And his contract takes up a good percentage of that number. And this is looking pretty rough right now. And as of right now, the Saints' number one wide receiver, who's healthy, is Tre'Quan Smith. I can't wait for football. I love football. I'm a huge football fan. But this is an issue. Why it took so long for Michael Thomas to, I guess, like I said, they're thinking he wanted to see if it would just heal naturally without going under the knife, but that just wasn't happening, and that's why he got the surgery on his ankle last month, which will keep him out for about half of the season if we're lucky. If you're listening right now, I mean, obviously when he signed the contract, he earned what they offered him. But ever since he signed that contract, because of him hurting his ankle in week one after he signed that contract last year, it looks like a pretty rough signing. And it looks like a signing that could do a lot of damage to this team, at least this year. Text us. Is that why he waited until June to get the surgery? Because he wanted to see if it would heal naturally on its own without going under the knife? And how much is this, in your opinion, going to hurt the Saints this upcoming season? Text us. And do you have an issue now with that contract? Again, when he signed it, it looked good. Nobody's thinking he's going to get hurt the first game after he signs the biggest contract that any wide receiver in the history of the NFL signed. But it's looking extremely rough right now. Text us your thoughts on this Michael Thomas situation, 504-260-9595. Please keep your text short. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. And please never text while you're driving. A head-scratching, pretty frustrating Big O this morning. Here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. If you're just joining us, this morning's Big O segment is about Michael Thomas, the star wide receiver of the New Orleans Saints, who's going to miss the first half of the season because he recently had his injured ankle operated on in June. It's the same ankle he injured in week one of the regular season last year, and it cost him to miss some games. And then when he came back, he was never really the same Michael Thomas who signed the biggest contract of any wide receiver in NFL history. And I'm just wondering why he waited until June and we mentioned how Michael Thomas's camp, they don't say much. And people are speculating that he waited after the season ended because he wanted his ankle to heal naturally before he didn't want to get surgery, but it wasn't happening. And so people are just guessing. That's why he waited and he didn't get surgery until June, which will now cause him to miss the first half of the season after signing that massive contract. Boy, and we asked you to text us your thoughts on this.
His first text says, the team should be able to claim half of this year's salary. Injuries are a part of the game. This year's draft was the deepest in wide receivers, and it makes you wonder.
I don't think they can do that, though. You sign a contract, and you make that money for that year.
This text says, it's amazing. It seems like the city's curse. Just look at Zion Williamson. This last text says, man, I thought Tennessee Volunteer fans complained a lot until I heard Aints fans. Jeez.
Well, Tennessee Volunteers fans haven't had much to root for in recent history. The Saints have had a whole lot. Saints fans have had a whole lot more to root for. Thank you for the text. Yeah, this is. I'm not complaining. It's just it's a big question. Why did he wait till June?
You think he did it on purpose so he can have half a year off? He can still get paid the big bucks and not have to work as hard.
Could be Coleman. It could be. Many things. I have no idea. Just the big question, why did he wait until June? That's what most people are speculating is that he wanted it to heal naturally. But it wasn't happening, and so he had to go under the knife. Coming up on the show, Britney Spears just released a topless picture of herself. Did you see that? Heard about the Free Britney movement going on, hashtag Free Britney, hashtag Free Britney's nipples. That's coming up. Hang out with us. We're still on the show this morning on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. Saturday night, Britney Spears posted a half-naked photo of herself, a topless photo of herself on her Instagram, and it was her second half-nude picture that she posted in less than 48 hours. We've got the picture on our website at bayou957.com. The nipples have been edited just a little bit. I mean, she put a couple of starry things over the nipples, I think. Or, well, she or somebody did that. And you know how she's going through the issue with her conservatorship. She just got a new lawyer, and she's trying to get control back of her own life, of her finances. And she says pretty much everything else. Her father has been in charge of the Louisiana Natives' finances. Some other things for a while now, ever since she kind of lost it and shaved her head, and they were worried that she wouldn't be able to be in full mental capacity to handle the big money that she had earned and still continued to earn.
And I think that's unfair when you think about all the celebrities that have went crazy or displayed some kind of crazy behavior, yet they still have control over their money, you know?
Yeah, and evidently, Coleman, from what I've read, there are a bunch of people, I mean, not famous like Britney Spears, but there are a bunch of people in the United States who are dealing with the same issue that Britney Spears is dealing with. They're grown adults, yet they still have someone in charge of a lot of very important details of their lives.
So do you think this picture that she posted on Instagram is going to help her case out at all?
I was gonna ask you that.
Because I'm not sure.
Because she has, since this whole Free Britney thing has been going on, and by the way, this is becoming a big movement in the United States. I think last weekend or 2 weekends ago, there was supposed to be some march or some rally in Washington, D.C. for Free Britney. And there are lots of celebrities who are coming out saying, you know, give the woman her life back. And so, as I mentioned, she recently got a new lawyer. And this new lawyer, he's a shark out there in Hollywood, and he's got one goal and one goal only, and that's to separate Britney Spears' father and the conservatorship from her.
Yeah, about that rally, I think they was trying to make merchandise for the rally, but they spelled Britney's name wrong on all of the T-shirts and all of the merch that they were trying to sell to profit off of Free Britney's movement.
Well, I know that there were 10,000 hashtag Free Britney T-shirts made. The problem is they spelled her name wrong. They spelled it B-R-I-T A-N-Y. They spelled it that way. She spells it B-R-I-T-N-E-Y. So they have to find some other Britney who spells her name that way, B-R-I-T-T-A-N-Y, who's having issues of not being free, and they have to maybe...
Isn't it ironic, though? Here's Britney Spears, right? She's fighting for control of her own money, and the people that's supposed to be supporting her, talking about hashtag Free Britney, are making merchandise and making money off of her movement. She doesn't have control of her own money, but you can make merchandise saying, yeah, we want Britney to have control of her own money and make money off the hashtag Free Britney merch. Well, I'm thinking, well, if you really care about Britney Spears' money that much to the point where you sell Free Britney merch, give us some of that money you're making off of her situation. They are profiting off her situation, and she can't make money off of her own situation.
I see the irony there.
But if I was Britney, I would go to the judge and say, look at Kanye West. Look at it, all these other celebrities. They go crazy. They still have control over their own money. Why can't I?
Although she's, again, she, on Saturday night, for the second time in less than 48 hours, Britney Spears posted a provocative topless photo. And this was late Saturday night. as her battle to end her controlling conservatorship rages on. Although she's wearing the same teeny denim cutoff shorts as she was in Friday's photo, the photo she released on Saturday night, the newer picture shows the star from Kentwood, Louisiana, cupping her breasts just underneath her nipples, which are censored out of the image with star graphics.
Boo.
I know some people want to...
That just means that the real photos are out there somewhere.
Well, some people want to adjust the slogan now to hashtag free Britney's nipples. But there were a... after she posted this picture, there were a bunch of famous people who commented underneath the photo. Yeah, you go, girl. You go get control of your money and your life back.
I don't know how flashy your boobs.
About a week or so ago, she posted a video of her in a French maid's outfit with her boobs just everywhere, dancing around. And then since that, she's posted videos of her in a bikini just dancing around by herself, just into the camera. I mean, I don't know all of this stuff. It's showing people that she's in complete control of everything.
Yeah, I don't see how this helps her argument. Who wakes up and says, how am I going to convince the judge to give me control of my own money? I know. I'll just post pictures of me flashing my boobs and dance around in my French maid outfit. That'll show the judge and go to the judge and say, see, look, I do have control over my life. I do have control over my mental faculties because I just flashed everybody my boobs.
If you want to see the topless picture that she posted on Saturday night, it's on our website right now. And again, her nipples are censored out of the picture with star graphics. But still, it's an incredible shot. It really is. She's standing there looking up to the sky, and there she is, holding her boobs.
And you can kind of see up her nose a little bit. She is staring at the sky.
Check out that picture for yourself on our website at bayou957.com. Coming up next on the show, I got a real happy story about how social media helps people. I mean, we've seen so many of stories of how social media does not help people. It hurts people. I got a real happy story for you next coming up on the show. We still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. We got a lot to do this morning still. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. Hope you had a good weekend. We've seen instances where social media has really helped people, and we've seen times when social media has really, really hurt people. Lots of people have jobs because of social media. We've mentioned on this show how in divorce cases in the last decade here in the United States of America, Facebook and social media, other social media, has been listed as a reason why people are getting divorced.
I think it's kind of misleading to say is social media has been the cause. I think it's what people post on social media. Social media in within itself is harmless. It depends on what you post that determines whether or not the consequences that happen.
All right, Coleman, that's fair. But we've also seen, and we've talked about on this show, how social media has helped a lot of people. The one story I always remember when something like this comes up is a year and a half ago, maybe, in San Diego, California, at a Starbucks. A woman, a customer, wasn't happy with something that was happening there. So she started recording on her cell phone that went to her social media, and she thought it was going to make her look good and make the barista at Starbucks looked bad, but the exact opposite happened. Everybody who saw the video felt bad for the barista. They were like, "What? Why is this woman doing this to this poor person?" And they started sending money to him, and he got lots of money. I think it was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right, and the original woman said she wanted some of the money because if it wasn't for her recording him, the barista wouldn't get any of the money. So she felt like she was entitled to some of it.
That's right, and if I remember correctly, I don't think the judge was buying what she was selling.
Nah. Nope.
And that Starbucks employee ended up getting, I think, a couple of hundred thousand. But we've seen instances where people see something that's sad or unfortunate, and they'll put it out on their social media, and then it takes off. People see it, and they start sharing it, and it goes viral, and good things come out of that for the people who are seen in the video or the picture or whatever. That's pretty sad or unfortunate. Well, the other day at the big in the United States, you know what the airport with the most traffic in the United States is? It's Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport.
I would have never guessed.
And on Wednesdays, there's a professional piano player named Tony Valentine Carter, who sets up and plays at the airport as people are going by him. Some airline passenger who happens to be a motivational speaker and an author had an hour-long layover in that airport in Atlanta. He saw the pianist, and the pianist was playing very well. So the motivational speaker and the author opened his Instagram and began recording the piano player. And that guy, by the way, his name is Carlos Whitaker, an airline passenger. He has a following of more than 170,000 people on his Instagram. And once people saw this piano player playing in the airport in Atlanta on this guy's Instagram page, they started sending money in. And he received more than $60,000 in tips when that Instagram influencer recorded him playing.
So wait, all right, if there's a guy playing the piano, right, and somebody else uses their phone and their Instagram account to record the piano player, are they sending the tips to the guy who's recording it, and the guy who recorded gives the tips to the piano player, or did the guy tag the piano player in his Instagram post, like called his name, like, "Hey, by the way, what's your name? I'll tag you in my Instagram post," and that's how we got the tips? I'm kind of confused how, if the guy's playing the piano and another dude's recording it, how is the tips going to the dude playing the piano and not the guy who's holding the phone?
Well, one of those two things happened, Coleman, and I believe, from what I understand, that the tips started coming in to Carlos Whitaker, that's the motivational speaker and the author. It started coming into his Instagram because he's the one that was video recording. And then he
probably Venmo'd a Cash App or whatever, did one of those new technical transfer deals.
Yeah, PayPal, whatever. Oh, okay. And he,
all right,
he got the money to the piano player. It's two. Carlos Whitaker, the author and motivational speaker, the airline traveler that day, struck up a conversation with the piano player, Tony Valentine Carter. And the motivational speaker asked the pianist if he would participate in his podcast, Human Hope. I guess you guys got a podcast too. And the piano player said, he asked me, do I have hope in humanity? And I told him, no, I didn't see it. And then he said, of course, that changed as soon as the $60,000 came his way.
Ah, well, yeah, $60,000 would change anyone's mind.
Within minutes, Carlos Whitaker's social media following and strangers began sending money through Cash Apps.
That's what it is. It was through Cash App.
Contributing. In the first half hour, you got more than $10,000. And he got over $61,000 when it was all said and done. And then messages started flooding in. People sending their appreciation for his talent and his passion. And they were thanking him for the entertainment that they were getting from just watching this other guy's Instagram. But at first, the 66-year-old piano player, he didn't know what was going on. But then, as his hour layover at the Atlanta-Hartsfield airport was ending, that's when Whitaker revealed to Valentine, the piano player, hey, humanity is taking over here. You know, and since then, that piano player who plays once a week at the airport in Atlanta, he's gotten over 10,000 followers on his Instagram.
So now it makes me wonder, here's this guy who plays piano once a week at an airport. He must be good because this is a busy airport. He has a cool name, Tony Valentine, and he also has 10,000 followers on his social media.
Well, he just got that.
Oh, he just got it. All right.
He just got that after this other guy. And he said, this guy, Carlos Whitaker, blew into my life like a tsunami. I mean, he had an hour layover at the airport in Atlanta where I play piano on Wednesdays. He just happened to see me. He said, I was having a typical day at work, and now I've been blessed by this man and his followers. So there's a guy who was asked the question, do you have faith in humanity?
Right.
And he said no.
Right. So that was
And within minutes, that all turned around.
So what does a guy who doesn't have faith in humanity play on his piano? Like, what genre of music? That's what I'm thinking. Here's this guy on Wednesdays. You don't know what he's going through. And he's playing the most beautiful music, probably. And you are unaware. And then his name is Tony Valentine. You wouldn't think that a guy who plays a piano really nicely so much that they let him come back once a week in... His name is Tony Valentine. You wouldn't think that he would not have hope in humanity. So I'm wondering, how beautifully does he play if he doesn't have hope in humanity? Is he just going through the motions?
Well, he must have been playing great because a lot of people saw it, appreciated it, and sent them money and thanked them and such. And now he has faith in humanity.
So now it makes me wonder, now that he has this rejuvenated faith in humanity, will his piano playing style change? Like, now that he has faith in humanity, would he come back and start doing different piano keystrokes and doing something different, and he completely blows it?
Well, that was a happy social media story with a happy ending, and we like that here on this radio show. Coming up, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning, and a Florida man is involved in this. Some things never change. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. I saw this story yesterday, and I just said, no! The Center for Disease Control is monitoring more than 200 people for potential exposure to monkeypox. Monkeypox? Not monkey, but, and these things, these things show up on your body, and they're all over your body. This story's out of Dallas, Texas. Dozens of people are being monitored for potential exposure to monkeypox. In Dallas was confirmed to have the virus. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the man had recently come from Nigeria to the United States. He flew from Lagos, Nigeria, to Atlanta in early July. And then he flew from Atlanta to Dallas. The CDC is working with airline and state and local health officials to track down and assess passengers who may have come in contact with this man during the flights. The CDC is monitoring more than 200 people in 27 states. So far, no additional cases have been detected. They say monkeypox is primarily spread through droplets, according to the CDC. So officials believe there is low risk the virus spread, as travelers are currently required to wear masks in flight. The CDC says human-to-human transmission of monkeypox is rare, and this is the first confirmed case in the United States since we had an outbreak back in 2003. I don't remember. I don't know if you remember that. It's not coming to the top of my head right now. Monkeypox usually lasts about 2 to 4 weeks. And these things just show up all over your body. They just start popping out of your skin. It's freaking me out just looking at it right now with everything else that's going on. The last thing we need is another virus. Monkeypox! Just keeping an eye on it. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And it has to do with a man in Florida who washed up on shore in a bubble. Well, we'll give you the details next. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic station. J.O. here with you. Good morning. The Black Crowes there. They played Hartford, Connecticut last night, and they were fantastic. The Jazz Fest, the first Friday night. I've told Coleman I want to go to that show. I've always loved the Black Crowes. But they played New Hampshire on Saturday night. And the reports I've seen on social media from both those shows last night and Saturday night, everybody saying they are absolutely fantastic. It's only the two Robinson brothers from the original Black Crowes. It's the singer Chris Robinson and his brother Rich Robinson, the guitar player. But the rest of the guys they got in the band, they're sounding great. And I enjoyed seeing those reports because I look forward to seeing them when they come and play here on that Friday night, that first Friday at Jazz Fest. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Florida man washes up on beach in bubble-like vessel. A Florida man inside a bubble-like vessel this past Saturday morning after an apparent attempt to walk on water. This guy has a bit of a history, and this isn't the first time like this. Something like this has happened to him. I think he wanted to go to Bermuda and then from Bermuda to New York. But he was in this vessel, and I'm looking at the picture. I mean, it's round, and he's inside of it. It's a bubble like vessel.
A hamster ball.
Something like that, Coleman. Flagler County, Florida deputies responded to calls from concerned citizens who spotted a strange vessel, a bubble-like vessel on the beach in the Hammock, Florida area. The vessel's sole occupant was discovered safe inside without any injuries. He told authorities that he had set off for New York from St. Augustine, from that area of Florida, before encountering complications that brought him back to shore and that washed his bubble-like vessel on shore. The guy's name is Reza Bellucci, and he's from Central Florida. He was attempting to run his floating vessel from Florida to Bermuda or travel north up the coast to New York to raise money for charity. He said, I guess he set out wherever the wind blew him. That's where he was going to end up. He said, quote, my goal is not only to raise money for homeless people, raise money for the Coast Guard, raise money for the police department, raise money for the fire department, he told the local news. Again, I don't know how possibly he would raise money by getting in this handmade bubble, putting himself in the water and trying to get to Bermuda or New York or wherever the wind was going to blow him. He said, they are in public service. They do it for safety, and they help other people. He's been rescued several times in his life, in previous years, after setting off inside of these man-made bubbles, these hydro bubbles.
So let me ask you this. Does it count? Let's say you want to do something for charity, right? You want to do a run, maybe go kayak down in Mississippi, or maybe go walk on on water in a bubble for charity. If you don't succeed in your goal, does the money not go to charity after that? You should still be able to, the people who want the charity to happen should still make it happen and just give them an A for the effort, right?
I don't know where this charity was set up. I don't know where people would be able to send their money. This guy has a history of doing this. This is a guy that we used to call crazy, but you know, you can't say that anymore about people. This is a guy who obviously has mental illness.
I don't know. If he would have succeeded, we wouldn't have been calling him crazy. We would have been calling him adventurous and an innovator. But it's the fact that he keeps failing at the attempt that makes it seem crazy to us.
It's a man-made bubble type thing. It looks like there are rafts around it. There's nothing electronic. There's nothing. It's like basically like a cage. It's a round cage with a couple of they look like large orange wheels, but the wheels have smaller orange, they look like rafts or some sort of floating device inside of them. But the guy obviously has issues. So the Florida man who washed up on a Florida beach in a man-made bubble again in his life, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.